Good morning, everybody. There's something that you said there, Brad, where along the lines of what Jesus do when Peter stepped out and he started to doubt and the waves came and he started to sink. Jesus did let out his hand, but still Jesus did have a word to say to him. And one of the things that Jesus said to him, he says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So there was some correction there. Okay, but still Peter stepped out. I mean, the thing was Peter stepped out. He was willing to step out. None of the other guys were willing to step out, but Peter was willing to step out. And still it didn't matter, even if he got corrected and started to sink and Jesus was right there to pull him up. Because at least he was willing to step out. See, that's kind of how our walk is. When we step out in faith, there will be correction. And if you love the truth and your desire is to serve Jesus, then you're going to take heed to that correction no matter how it makes you feel. Because you love the truth. All right, see, and that's the place we really need to get to is we love the truth no matter if it testifies against ourselves, because it is what we need to go forward. And see, you might not ever get correction if you don't even ever step out of the boat and try to go forward and walk with them. You might never get that. Well, that's not a good thing. You might think it's a good thing. Well, yeah, I'm never getting corrected over here. But you're never stepping out of the boat. You're never stepping out of the boat. So it's actually a good thing. See, when you start walking that walk of faith, there will be corrections. But that's a good thing. That's because he loves you. See, he called you to what? Succeed. I mean, it's just like your child. If you want your child to be a good soccer player or a good, you know, baseball player, a good coach brings correction. A good coach brings a fire. A good coach doesn't sit back and say, "Well, y'all doing the best you can," and don't ever correct them, don't ever show them anything. That's not a good coach at all. I tell you what, I had Coach Varnador back in years in Pee Wee football, and I tell you what, Coach Varnador, he was hard on us. Boy, he made us work out till we, man, our stomachs burned. Man, I mean, I remember Coach Varnador all the way back then. He made an impression on my life. I'll tell you that right now in the sense of just, that was one of the hardest coaches I ever coached for. But I tell you what, we went and made it to the state championship that year in Pee Wee. And we lost that last game. But man, if he didn't give us that drive, if he didn't do what was necessary for us to get better, we would have never got there. We would have never got there. Okay, now on the contrast, I've also played football for a coach that was really light on us, wasn't much correction, and just kind of sat back some. I think he did the best he could with what he knew. But we became last. No state champion, not even the playoffs, none of these things. None of that happened for us. But Coach Varnador, and he loved those guys. And let me tell you, this was in North Charleston. And it was a place where actually the kids, he even set up a program for hand-me-downs of football gear and all these kinds of things. And these kids, some of these kids really didn't have parents. I mean, their parents were off doing drugs and all kinds of things. I mean, it was some bad living situations from these guys. These guys lived and grew up in poverty, and they didn't have much. But Coach Varnador set up a program for those guys and was hard on them because he loved them and he corrected them. And it was probably the only discipline that they really ever got that was a selfless discipline. So, but I just wanted to share that part. That's really not the subject matter of what I was thinking about talking about. But, I mean, praise the Lord. But one of the things that you talked about in Ephesians, and In Ephesians, you were in 3, and you were talking about that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, I tell you the key thing and the experience that I had this past week was an amazing experience, an experience that I experience quite often, actually. Quite often. And one of the things that the start of entering into where you get that is really repentance. Repentance. Because I tell you, I was all wrapped up in all kinds of garbage all in myself. And then when I went to the Lord and I repented, and I repented for the things that I was making it about, because it was all selfishness. It was all about how it was affecting me. It was all these things that had nothing to do with the Lord and how I could serve Him one bit. And the things that I started repenting about, and I just needed to repent. And the Lord in His grace and His mercy, it was an amazing, amazing thing. I was forgiven, and He manifested that forgiveness to me. He manifested that forgiveness in a great way, because I tell you, before I repented, I was tired. I was drugged down. It was hard for me just to make it through the day. Okay? I mean, that's where I was at. And it was like that quick. I snapped my fingers online. That quick. And all of a sudden, He gave me a fire of energy in my belly. Okay? He gave me a fire of energy in my belly. And the things that were ailing me, they just came right on down. Okay? And then, it was like scales coming off my eyes, where I saw opportunity to go and serve Him. And I was moved by the Spirit. And all I could say is, thank you, Jesus. Okay, because without Him, I could do nothing. And that was so evident. Because it was Him that gave me that faith. Okay, it was Him that gave me that strength. All right, it was Him that gave me the knowledge of His will right before me, right then and there. And it just confirmed His forgiveness for me. Confirmed it. And see, but the place that I had to get to was to stop making the excuses. Stop making it about me. And just becoming honest with myself and honest with Him. See, it was nobody else's fault, the place I was at. Oh, I would love it to be. At least I thought I would love it to be. But it was nobody else's fault where I was at. There was no response. I mean, it was all my fault that I was taking on the attitudes that I was taking on and looking at the things in the wrong way. That was on me. And when I became before the Lord, became honest with myself, and became honest with Him and asked for His mercy and His grace upon me, and not upon me only, but everyone around me. See, that's when I was strengthened in the inner man. Okay, that's when the scales came off my eyes. Okay, that's when I could see clearly. It was in that place of true repentance. And see, all that it came down to, all that mattered, was me serving Him. That's what it came down to be. And all I wanted, what it came down to me was, all I wanted was just to serve Him when all those things came rolling away. But it's in that place where you tap into that sweet spot that you were talking about right there in Ephesians. See, it's not a presumptive place that you enter into. It's not something that you manifest that you enter into. It's none of those things. No, it's something that He gives you. As the Scripture says, you just come to that place where it says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. And that is so true. And all I could walk away from after that experience that I had is, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for putting that fire back in my belly. Thank you for not casting me off when I so deserved it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But I want to go to 1 John. And in 1 John, I think I want to start with 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look, that is the place where you justify yourself, folks. You justify yourself why you don't justify yourself why you don't make Him Lord. You justify yourself in whatever the case may be. But it's simply saying, I don't have sin. It's not my fault. Anytime correction comes, you just reject, reject, reject. You're justifying yourself. You're justifying yourself. And you really believe that you are justified. See, that's not the way to you entering into the kingdom of God. That's not the way where you enter into that place and that sweet spot that Ephesians 3 talks about. No, it's when you get that correction or you see those things arise in your heart and you actually go to Him and you confess. You get honest with yourself. You recognize that it's nobody else's fault that you're carrying around these attitudes. It's nobody else's fault that you're not walking forward in what He has you to do. It's nobody else's fault. It's your own. And you just come to that place with Him. Now see, it's a humbling experience when that truth comes and testifies against you. Oh, ye of little faith is what Jesus said after Peter just walked on the water. I mean, he could have sat there and justified himself after that. Well, I was the only one that stepped out the boat, Lord. But what good would that have done, Peter? No, at that time, where he was at, he doubted. He had little faith. He had little faith. Well, it's just another place to turn and repent and grab a hold of Jesus' faith. You see, that's a good thing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Wow, that's amazing. It's that simple. It's that simple, folks. Stop justifying yourself and become honest with yourself and Him. And there He has it. It's laid right out there for you. But you keep yourself, that part where you deceive yourself, you keep yourself from the gift of God that He has for you when you stand back and justify yourself. And why do you justify yourself? Because you're prideful. In your heart, you want to seem and think that you are somehow good. That somehow you can do it. That somehow you can make it. And I'm not that bad. It's all pride because it testifies against you. And that's why you don't do it. And you keep His hand. You keep yourself from receiving that good gift from His hand. And see, the person that it affects the most is you. Is you. But you don't have to stay there, folks. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Lord, I've been this way. Forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've made it about. Forgive me. I'm tired of it being that way. Lord, please give me the strength. Lord, please give me the will to do Thy will, O Lord. See, those are the prayers He's going to answer. How can He not answer that? See, it wasn't in my will or my ability or any of those things that I could turn around and snap out of the funk that I was in. No. It was all His doing. I just had to humble myself, get on my knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me, and beat my chest. And any one of us can do that. It's not hard. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's not a formula. It's not held back from you as some kind of mystery you cannot attain. Man, that's a simple solution, isn't it? Praise God. But it's where do you want to be? It's humbling. Oh, I tell you that. Oh, yes, it's humbling. And humbling does not feel good to your flesh. It's like anti-humble. Your old man is anti-humble. I tell you that. It's anti-God. It's anti-all those things. See, and that just makes you look bad when you confess this. Oh my gosh, I look this bad. You know what? It's not news to Him. It's just maybe be news to you. And it's not so much news to anybody around you, quite frankly. So that's where you just laugh at that old man. You don't take him seriously. And you go forward and say, Lord, please forgive me. And He'll give you all that, and you go forward and you laugh at that old sucker. But He's not going to sit there and bless you in that prideful state. Why would He do that? When you're about your own business and you're about you looking good. That is just, that's the way down to hell. He's not, why would He honor that? He's not going to honor that. He's not going to honor that one bit. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Look, He didn't die just for you. He died for the sins of the whole world. But if you can't believe it for yourself, how can you go about and tell it to somebody else? See, that place where you repent and He gives you all those things, He gives you His love, He gives you His Spirit, He gives you His faith. He gives you all these things. See, that's the place when you can minister the gospel. Why? Because you know it for yourself. You know it for yourself. You know it's true. And you know what He's done for you. And that's what you go and share to the next. That's what you go share in the next. Now, I was kind of amazed. I was talking with Steve on a couple of fronts on this past week, and he shared some things with me. But that's been my experience for years. You want to preach the gospel, you got to live by the gospel. That's living by the gospel, folks. That's living by the gospel. Look, it says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You can trust Him. You can go to Him with all these things. Just get honest with yourself. Get honest with Him. And receive those good things that He has. It's a simple. It's so simple. If that's really what you want to do. But if you want to just stand back and justify yourself and not come to the knowledge of truth and things, well, then you're just going to stand back and justify yourself and not go forward in it. And see, there's nobody's fault to blame on that except yourself. And see, when you can see how powerful His grace is and how awesome He is, see, it stops becoming about you. It comes all about Him and what He's able to do. And when it comes all about Him and His grace, His mercy, His gospel, then it becomes not about you at all. It becomes about others that you can minister unto. And see, that's where the scales come down off your eyes and you just see opportunity where you can have opportunity to love Him and love one another. That's the fulfilling of the commandment. That's the commandment that John's talking about. It's right there. So praise the Lord, folks. It's as simple. It's not a formula. It's that easy. But it's just like that prayer you said the other day you were testifying. Was it yesterday? I don't know what Sunday it was, but it was one Sunday you said, Lord, I don't know. I know I'm a mess. I know I'm screwed up. I know these things are the snare, but I'm willing just to do whatever you'd have me do, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And what you have is, boom, His Spirit moved across the shop and moved. That's a testifying of His grace, not a manifestation of anything that you bring. It has everything to do with what He has brought. What He has brought. And we sit back and say, praise You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. And He moves within you to minister that love to others. And see, and that's when you can walk as His ambassador. As part of His body. So, folks, what do we want to do? Do we want to wake up, walk out in that faith and love and be a part of His body and go forward? Yes. Or, amen? Well, praise God. Let's do that and rather the other, the thing we've been doing way too long. We know how to do that. Let's get shed of it. It's been crippling, hasn't it? It has been crippling. So let's go forward, folks. There it is right there for you. Get in your closets. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with Him. And receive the good things He has for you. And go forward in His gospel, His grace, His love. Amen? All right, thank you.